Welcome to the Mindful Babes podcast. I am Jessica Hutto, spiritual and mindset coach, your manifestation bestie and mentor in life and business.
And I'm Valerie Adams, mindset coach and lifestyle entrepreneur, helping women break past their anxiety and live a life of abundance and freedom. Together, we are the Mindful Babes. Each week, we will be offering you an interview or idea that will support you on your path to a more mindful and intentional life. We will help you incorporate a quick bite of mind food into your busy day and give you easy ways to win your week.
You deserve to take this time for yourself, and we are so excited you're here. It is our honor to take you on a mindful journey and show you how easy it is to feel good, stay connected, and love yourself every day. Thank you for tuning in. Let's begin. Hey everyone, Becca Comar here, as well as
Valerie Adams, aka the Mindful Babe on Instagram. I am so excited to be collaborating with this beauty. We are online friends now, meeting virtually, soon to meet in person, and we just found out that we have so much in common.
Seriously, so much, which is why we're going to do more of like a fireside chat, for lack of a better term. This is new for both of us. So bear with us as we get to know each other, you get to know us, and I hope offline, off this podcast, we get to learn more about you. So we're going to learn about each other and just share some of our history of what brought us to where we are today, as both just very embedded in personal development, mindset coaching, and just that realm of, you know, consistently growing. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, Valerie, to kick things off. So first of all, I guess, in a nutshell, what are you passionate about mostly?
Oh my gosh, I am such a stand for every woman living her best life. And what that looks like is being completely free of self-worth conversations, being free of self-doubt, owning your voice, standing in your power, and knowing that you are abundant and everything that you want in life belongs to you. There's no reason you can't have it. And you get to step into that power every single day.
And why are you passionate about that? Have you always had that mindset?
I wish, girl, my life would have been a lot different. I wish, you know, someone when I was growing up would have told me every day, you're enough, you're beautiful, like you got this, you can have whatever you want. Because I told myself a different story. Growing up, I, you know, really wanted my dad's attention. My father is amazing. And he had a very close bond with my younger brother. And my younger brother was a star athlete, did really well in school. And the story I created about myself was that, you know, he was my dad's favorite kid. And to get my dad's attention, I had to be doing something, or I had to be excelling at something. So I tried really hard to play sports and be into it. And I struggled in school. So grades were never my forte. And what ended up happening was I had a belief that in order for a man or a group of people to like and accept you, you have to always be doing something really amazing and constantly be earning love instead of just being yourself. So ultimately I just haven't, you know, up until a point, like very recently in the last year, I just hadn't been owning who I was and being authentic. I had an experience when I was in the sixth grade. I was a little awkward, can we say, like before makeup. I don't have blonde hair, blue eyes. I look different than most kids. And, you know, at the time I was hanging out with a group of people who weren't the popular kids. And I had a friend who, you know, we would hang out outside of school, and she was like, hey, you get to come to the like quad where all the cool kids sat. She's like, you get to come tomorrow with us and have lunch with all the football players. Like, that's where you belong. So I was super excited. I was like, yes, like, I can't wait to finally be in with these kids. Like, my life was going to be completely solved for me at age 11. And, you know, I get in my Abercrombie and Fitch shirt. I'm like super ready to go. And I get up to like the lunch area and my friend runs off with her boyfriend and it's just me and the star football player standing there. And he scans me, like looks me up and down and says out loud, "What is she doing here?"
Wow. Yeah. Like that's something you hear in the movies, not in person.
Right. I know. And you know, at that time I was so fragile and that moment completely broke me and changed my life. And it's not because of what he said, but it's what I made up about myself after he said that, that really dictated my life. So what I told myself was, I'm not safe to be, you know, my true self, who I am at my best, you know, in my natural state isn't enough. It's not accepted. You're different. You don't belong. So the rest of my life, I tried to prove that I belong everywhere. And that's the thing is you don't belong everywhere. You're not meant to blend in everywhere. So I spent my life being a master chameleon and I would mold myself into like every person. I wanted everyone to like me. So if someone was really smart, I'd be like, okay, so I'll just make sure they know I'm really smart. Or if I was around someone funny, I was like, okay, I'm going to like be super sarcastic and funny. And as you can imagine, molding yourself into a different version for every person gets exhausting. You keep up with a lot and you feel like you're always on an audition. And that definitely transpired into the type of men I attracted into my life and dating. So I felt like I earned a man's love. Like he didn't choose or, you know, he chose me, not me choosing him. So it was like this audition to get the man. And then when I had the man, it's like, okay, how do I keep this up? I want to be like that version that he was interested in. And so I never knew where I stood and I was just freaking exhausted to be honest with you. And, you know, I got to a point where I was really spending time just trying to escape my feelings. So a lot of, numbing by watching a ton of Netflix and drinking every single weekend and like overeating and then over exercising and just really not using my time in a way that served me. I was hiding and I was just trying to escape my feelings. So, I just had enough one day, like had an all-time low where I had a weekend of partying, honestly, and got really drunk. And the next day just felt low. And I, from then on, promised myself, I was like, I'm never going to feel this way again. I'm going to try listening to podcasts because my behavior typically was to like order Postmates and just like hide after a night of drinking. I don't know if anyone can relate to that, but that was my behavior. Like 12 hours of reality. Yeah. Like have Postmates come two or three times in that day. Like, yep. And I was like, I'm going to start listening to podcasts because I know that's what people who are smart do, like literally said that. And I found Lewis Howes's School of Greatness. I found a random episode, turned it on, and it felt so good, Rebecca, to just like listen to that. I was like, wow, this is what I need to hear. This feels really good. And so I got obsessed, started listening to podcasts, reading books, like consuming all the content I could, realized that I'm meant to share my story and help other women, and hired a coach. You know, now here I am, I've invested over like honestly close to like 25 grand to my personal development. And it's all from honestly that comment that was told to me in sixth grade. It's the best thing that happened for me, even though it was so painful.
Yes. Wow. I'm sure everyone listening right now can see themselves in some part of that story. Absolutely. And I'm just thinking like, dang, you literally just like, not literally, because not every single experience was the same, but that's very much so similar to my journey.
Yeah. Well, what's your journey?
So I also had, you know, the desire of wanting to feel loved by my father. And that's literally, you know, I had the same type of drive of you as you. And so, and like, I constantly felt like I had to be doing in order to get noticed and get praise and accolades. And I'm the youngest of four daughters. And so being the baby, I was always screaming for attention, even as a little girl, like at a young age, there was just, my parents were overwhelmed. My dad was working all the time. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, but still with four kids at home, it was really challenging with little money. And so I was just always striving and like craving the attention, especially from my dad. He's amazing provider, emotionally very disconnected. And so it was really hard for me to get that love. And so I thought, well, he works hard, so I'm going to work hard too. And that's how he's going to give me praise and love. Mm. And so I like, it's like my own goals I set as a kid were to get straight A's. I remember from third grade on, my only goal was straight A's. And it's not like my parents told me I had to get straight A's, but it was just a part of me wanting to get that attention and love.
Yes.
And so in school and also in sports, I just like was so driven to try to be the best and get that support, even though I act like it didn't matter. Mm. And so I carried that same mentality up and through adulthood of just constantly pushing myself for goals that weren't really aligned with what I wanted to do. So that was like one part of it. And in addition to that, I was a chameleon, and I told people that all the time, which is interesting. You use the same word, because I, at the time, especially in high school and college early on, I thought it was a good thing. Like it was a special secret skill I had that I could blend in with others and pretty much act how they wanted me to act.
I thought the same thing. I was like, this is my superpower.
Yes. Until I realized I didn't know who the hell I was as a person. Someone came up to me and said, who is Becca? I couldn't tell you. Besides, mm-hmm. I was really shy. Very, very shy. And I struggled with that through most of my childhood and adulthood, carrying me all the way through until my freshman, sophomore year of college. And that was my, also my identity, if someone asked. And so it was really challenging because I didn't know who the hell I was. And I was too afraid to figure it out because I was afraid to know who I really was deep down and go through that. Because what if I didn't like myself? It's easier to be other people. And so I eventually in college, obviously you go through partying and you kind of get that comfortability of when you're drinking. And I got really into drinking because I could be whoever I wanted and I could be myself, most importantly. So I love that feeling of being drunk and not caring who I was because no one else cared. We were all in that same, you know, mental state of the truth comes out when you're drunk. And so I partied a lot. I mean, actually it started when I was like 16 all the way through college. And it was, I mean, I was able to kind of get out of my shell and get over the shyness, but I was dependent on weekends drinking because I felt the best at that time. Mm. So there was lots of high highs and low lows.
Yes.
And there was a point where when I was, I just that's all I did. Weekends, you go out, you drink. And even during work, and everyone does it, so you think it's okay, and you feel empty. Like, I knew there was something more, and I didn't know what it was until about 3 years ago when I was working for a really, really tough sales position, and it was taxing and very, very challenging on just my overall health. I was, like, declining, especially when, like, very high-stress level jobs in sales, people drink even more because they're trying to cope with it, and so I fell into that trap, and eventually I was like, I can't do this. I need to do something differently. And I stumbled on School of Greatness as well, Lewis House. No joke.
Are we the same person? Like, everything you're sharing is resonating with me so much. I've never heard someone articulate what social drinking like does for you better than that, because I can totally relate. It's like, I would look forward to the weekends because you're right. It's like you finally get to be yourself, yet it's an escape. With a price. With
a very big price tag of lots of misery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. It's amazing. And I know there was alignment for us talking today. It's so cool how much there really is. It's like, as we keep digging, there's more and more. And I'm sure other people are probably nodding their head too. That was the pivotal point for me is I got maybe I shouldn't use the word addicted. I was just so infatuated with this world I had not been exposed to. Like, how did people not tell me that I could change my life by just changing my mind and learning and consuming And so every single day on my sales job, I was in the car a lot, like 3 or 4 hours. I listened to almost like every episode of Lewis House.
Yes.
Like so into it. And yeah, from there I hired a coach. This was like 3 years ago, a personal coach, and just like realized how important it was to invest in myself. So yeah, I've spent a lot of money on personal development and books and just programs. And that's the one thing that I don't skimp on. And it really makes a difference, because look at us now. We don't even recognize the people we were a couple of years ago, right?
Exactly. So what would you say to someone who is listening to this potentially, and they know that they want better for themselves. They know that there's more for them. Mm-hmm. They don't know where to start. They, you know, have never invested in themselves outside of, you know, a manicure. And like investing in personal development can be scary because there's no guarantee, right? And it's like, there's a million books out there about how to get rich, but why aren't we all rich? It's because you get to apply what you learn. So what would you say to someone who's looking to get into personal development? They've never invested before. What advice would you give them?
Yes. Oh, that's such a terrific question. And I apologize, because I'm very much one that's very intuition based, and I shouldn't apologize about this. This is just my theory. Not everyone's going to resonate with the same things.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you, you need to read this book and it's going to change your life. But every single person you ask in the personal development world in coaching is going to have a different suggestion for that different book.
Yes. That's been my experience too.
And that's what changed them. But I think there's other things that factor into it. I think getting in tune with what you've always desired, but you've pushed aside. Like, you know, that one thing you were like, oh, I should read that. And you like keep pushing it off. I should read that. Do that thing. Whatever it is, that movie that keeps coming up and you're like, oh my God, why does The Secret keep popping up in my like conversations now? Well, there's a reason. Like, follow that message, and whatever that message is for you that keeps coming up, follow it. And that's usually where you should start.
I love that. That's amazing advice. And I think we put so much pressure on ourselves. Like, oh, I have to find my passion, like da, 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 da. And it's like, I don't believe in finding your passion. I believe in tuning into your passion. It's within you. It's not something you search for and, you know, you have to go find it. It's like in the street somewhere and you claim it. It's like, it's within you. It's like, where does your mind keep going? Like, what's that one thing that you can't stop thinking about?
So, so true. Yes. That alleviates so much pressure. Thank you for bringing that up, because I think I have fallen this trap. I don't know about you, of feeling so much pressure finding my passion. Like, I was on a hunt for this like golden ticket that didn't exist for like a year or two.
Yeah.
And it almost made things even more challenging, because I put so much pressure on finding that thing, not realizing that it already exists within.
Yeah.
And it's about the experience, not like that end result.
Mm-hmm.
So question for you, what has transformed your life? What simple daily activity has transformed you the most?
Creating a morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to just like wake up, sleep into the last possible second, and getting ready in the morning was stressful. And I didn't carve out time to take care of myself and connect with myself. So creating a morning routine was definitely challenging, and when you're doing it, you feel good. But you really notice it's working when you go without it for a day or two and you're like, wow, I'm feeling so off. I'm feeling out of alignment. Like, why? And it's always come down to me not prioritizing myself in that morning. Mm-hmm. So what I like to do is I wake up and give myself time to ease into the morning. Lately, I've been doing Wim Hof breathing. Have you tried that before?
No.
Oh my gosh, girl, you get to do it. I'll send you a YouTube video.
Is he the ice cold shower guy?
I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a really amazing experience. It's really cool to do it with other people. But it's really shifted my moods, and I've connected with myself in the morning first thing. And then I will go to my journal and I spend about 10 minutes with my journal. So I like to do gratitude, you know, 3 to 5 things I'm grateful for, one thing I'm looking forward to, and then something I'm proud of myself for. And then lately I've been writing a letter to money and talking to money. So I'm saying, like, thank you, money, for providing me with this amazing apartment. Thank you for paying for my plane ticket. Thank you for buying my lunch today, and just really focusing on what I love about money. And then I like to move my body, and I work out in the morning now, which, like, I used to think people who worked out at 6 a.m. were insane and lived on another planet. And now I'm one of them. And it's all because I decided to say yes to myself and spending more time with myself. And honestly, that's what completely changed my life.
Oh, that's so cool. I get so much, like, excitement out of hearing people's morning routines, because every single person's is different.
Yes.
I mean, there's the same concepts typically, but I'm totally going to try that Wim Hof meditation, breathing exercise. You're like the second person to bring up that guy in the last 3 days for me.
Yep. So that means that you get to try it. Yeah. And I created a freebie for anyone who's curious about how to create a routine and create that structure. It's in my bio. Because I've always known that, like, doing something in the morning is great, but I didn't know, like, what to do, you know, why, and how to stay accountable. So, that's something that I created that I love to give as a gift. So you can find that in my bio, on Instagram. And what about you, Becca? Like, what's been that one thing that's transformed your life?
Oh man. I would probably say yes, morning routines. One of the biggest things was meditation. And I don't know if that was the introduction for me into my thoughts and my mindset, but that was one of the very first things I started practicing. And meditation has impacted me on so many different levels. Like, I used to have so much struggles, like, during work and just throughout the entire day. I would never be present, ever. And I thought something was wrong with me. I literally thought that maybe I had a disease. Maybe there's something clinically wrong with me. These are thoughts I went in my head because my brain would not stop. Yeah. And I, like, would be in a meeting at work and not know anything that just happened in the last hour, because my brain would just be off.
You know, I was the exact same way.
Really?
I could do that with, like, a movie. I could be, like, in front of a movie screen and, like, be sitting there for, you know, 2 hours, like, in the front row, and I would take myself somewhere else because I lacked presence.
Mm-hmm. And you don't realize that you have control over that. And that's exactly, I started out with the Headspace app when I first, my ever very, very first meditation. And it was strange, but I felt different after. And I was like, I feel like, okay, maybe I only did it for a minute of staying focused. Now I can do it for 2 minutes. And then from there, it started expanding into silent meditations and then different, like, sound healing. And it's crazy how, like, it's like brain food for you to be able to meditate, and being present just instantly alleviated any stress I had, especially at a time when it was a very, very stressful job. And I just became hooked to it because I felt that shift in me. Like, I would meditate, and the days that I did, like, I would come into the office just, like, on top of the world, on cloud nine. Mm-hmm. And the days I didn't, like you'd said, like, the days you didn't do your morning routine, same thing with meditating, because it's part of it, you feel out of alignment. And right. So it's like my daily vitamins, but meditation's like a non-negotiable for me every single day now.
Wow. It's like that 10 minute investment in time will set you up for 24 hours of feeling good and feeling aligned. And yeah. So would you recommend Headspace for someone who's just starting out meditating?
That's what I usually tell people. There's also Calm. That's another app. And I tried, like, in the very beginning, just YouTubing, because there's, like, shorter meditations. There's so many out there and it gets a little overwhelming. That's why I say Headspace. Do you have any other suggestions?
I've been listening to Abraham Hicks meditations lately. However, like, Headspace, I love it. I love that it's free, and you know, you can certainly buy the subscription to it, but I just found, I love how accessible it is. You can just have it quickly on the app. Yeah, I would recommend Headspace, like, all the way.
I'm glad we're on the same page there. Yeah, it just gives you structure and it gives you the main foundation of meditating. Well, at least one form of it, of, you know, being aware of your thoughts, but not like being attached to them.
Yeah,
and the accent really helps.
I know. He has the best accent.
Yes.
Yeah. So I wanted to share an experience that I had this past weekend where I was on, we didn't call it a retreat, but it pretty much was a retreat with my girlfriends. We were in Austin, Texas, and we got this house that we called the tree house because it was so serene and secluded. And what was really amazing about the experience was that we got to spend time with each other in a way that we never had. So much talking, sharing, being vulnerable, being super authentic and emotionally like naked with each other. And I felt so refreshed after the weekend, rejuvenated. And I know that that's something that you do, and that's an experience that you create for others. So I would love to hear more about that.
Yes. And yes, if for those that follow you, they got to be part of that journey with you, which I so appreciate you sharing, like the vulnerability of like you crying on camera, like connected with me so much and I wasn't even there. And I'm like, wow, like that's the power of being vulnerable and connecting with other like-minded people. Yeah. And that's exactly why I'm putting together a retreat with one of my good friends who I also met on social media. We are having a retreat in August in California, and it's going to be, I know it's actually right outside of San Diego.
I was just about to ask that, where?
Yes. I will post the details as soon as our website is up on the exact location. But it's like tucked away in the forest. And the reason that I love the concept of having retreat is exactly what you said, like being super vulnerable with a group of like-minded women, or retreats, obviously there's different types, but the ones I do are women-based because I think it's easier to kind of like strip down the guards and really just open up. And one of the biggest shifts that happened for me in my life was back in October, and I went to a large women's retreat by Danette May called The Rise. And it was a weekend in Denver, and I've never cried so hard in like my adulthood until going to that event. And I say that in the best way, because that means some serious baggage was being unloaded and some breakthroughs were happening for me. And that's when I knew I wanted to have my own retreats at some level, because every single woman, there was 1,000 in there. I swear to you, every single woman that walked out of that room was a changed woman. And that's the power of having those retreats. It only takes a weekend for having such a big shift. And at that moment, I finally, after a year of contemplating, broke up with my then boyfriend. And we had been together for almost 3 years and were considering, you know, marriage. And I just knew in my heart it was time. And that was what like caused me to finally commit to making a choice for myself. And from there, my podcast took off and everything else, and planning retreats kind of fell into place. So that was a pivotal moment. And that's why I want to serve for other women to have those experiences, to really find who they are and really connect at a deeper level with other women and have that space to be open and talk about your fears and your problems and challenges and come together closer and more unified through it.
Yeah. And
so that's what the retreats are all about.
Amazing. And I love it. It's like, we think like, oh, to transform, it takes a long time, but you can, like you said, unpack a ton of stuff in a short amount of time when you're intentional, and a retreat is truly one of the most amazing ways to do that, as well as a live event where you're there to unpack and to walk away with clarity. That's what I find. It's like when you release something, the universe then fills it with something better. So no coincidence that when you release something that was no longer serving you, the universe was like, okay, finally, there's more room for some great things to flow in. So
yes,
experience, it sounds like abundance and success shortly thereafter. And it's no coincidence.
And a big part of that was I also hired a coach right after that.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people walk away and then not do the work, which is where obviously you come in. You're coaching women one-on-one to make that continuation of progress. So do you want to talk a little bit about how you serve women?
Yes, absolutely. I love the intimate one-on-one coaching setting, and my clients are amazing. They make strides very quickly because I serve women who are committed to living their best life, and to live your best life that requires urgency. So that requires, you know, a willingness to be coached and also urgency. So my coaching, it's 3 months. I lived it. I've seen it many times. Transformation can truly happen as quickly as you would like. And 3 months has been amazing. So I love coaching women through that, really getting clear on what's holding them back, what they desire, and not just like switching beliefs, but completely destroying and replacing with new beliefs. Mm-hmm. So I do that one-on-one, and I do have 2 spots available for one-on-one coaching right now. And currently in the process of speaking with different women. So if that's something you would like to explore, I would love to have a conversation with you and learn more about what's going on and see how I can support you.
I love that. Yes, I'm such a big advocate in one-on-one coaching. Like, everyone needs a coach. Even coaches need coaches.
And agreed.
So appreciate you, like, you know, being able to support women in that capacity. And you're just full of so much wisdom and knowledge that I'm sure, like, 3 months, I'm sure your clients are transformed.
Oh, yes. I love working with women who are ready to say yes to themselves.
Yes, absolutely. Have to be ready. For those that are ready and want to know more, how do they find you and where are you hanging out at?
Yeah, I hang on Instagram at the Mindful Babe. My website is www.mindfulbabe.com. On the podcast, I show up every week with my co-host Jessica Hutto, aka the Divine Maven. You can find us on the Mindful Babes podcast. My free Facebook group where I give daily tips, daily mindset shifts and inspiration. And I like to hang out everywhere. What about you?
Yes, I also am on Instagram quite a bit, maybe too much sometimes.
Yeah.
I love Instagram. I mean, this is how we connected. There's just so many amazing people out there. My handle is at Becca Komar. My name is spelled really fun. Ready? It's BekahKomar. And also my website is www.BeccaKomar. And also on Facebook, I am Becca Komar. I also have a private Facebook group for women. It's called Passion to Purpose. And there's a group of like-minded women. They're all going through the same journey together. And we really just support each other and inspire each other daily on there. So if you want to be part of that, reach out to me on Instagram. That's usually the easiest way. And I will get you connected with everything. And then more stuff is to come on my Instagram for the retreat coming up. So you can sign up for the early bird tickets soon.
I love it. It's been so fun chatting with you. We are soul sisters. And we get to meet in person this month at Meant for More live event in Las Vegas. It's going to be epic. There's going to be some powerful speakers and I cannot wait.
Me too. I love when we get to meet in real life.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some tears and lots of laughter, I'm sure. Yeah. So I'm so stoked. So this is just proof that like we practice what we preach. We're going, filling up, we're investing our time and money because we know it's worth it. So I'm so excited to see you at the event and thank you so much for your time today.
Of course.
All right. Have an awesome night.
You too. Thank you so much for spending your time with us on the Mindful Babes podcast. It is our pleasure to serve you and give you a quick bite of mind food today. We are excited and proud of you for taking this time to better yourself and live a life of intention.
If this episode made you feel something, would you do us a favor and share it with someone you think would enjoy it? We would be so grateful. And if it feels aligned for you, please leave us a review in the iTunes store. Tell us what you liked and what you want more of. We're here to serve you and any feedback is greatly appreciated. We want to continue bringing value to your life, so stay in touch. Be sure to check out the show notes for more ways to connect with us. Until next time, we are wishing you a week of intention, joy, and abundance.